Lunch with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Always great to have Wendy with us, and we just are hoping against hope that the phone line is going to hold up for the hour because the load shedding has taken up the Skype. Wendy, thanks for joining us. By hook or by crook, we'll get you on air.
By hook or by crook. I was beginning to think you would bring the show on your own today, Pippa. There was just nothing for a while. So we'll take the phone.
Don't tempt fate, Wendy. Don't tempt fate.
Yeah.
Okay. So the main event today is looking at the Plett Rage and the response to its moving and, more pertinently, its cancellation policies. And after that, some open lines. But before we get to any of that, I believe there's a nice follow-up on a story you covered in my absence last week.
Yes. So Robin Lee called in to say that she'd bought an eye-wateringly expensive toaster, 8,000 rand KitchenAid toaster as a spoil, with a I think it was a kettle or something as well, but that was fine. The issue was the toaster. She bought it from Yuppie Chef in June 2018, and within 4 or 5 months, in other words, within a 6-month CPA warranty period, it developed a defect. So she took it back, and as we say so many times on this show, if a product you bought develops a defect and it can't be proved that it was, you know, something that due to some abuse on your part, you have the right to choose the remedy, which is refund, replacement, or repair. Mm-hmm. So Robin said she would like a replacement, but she was told by Yuppie Chef that it would have to be repaired instead. She didn't understand her rights, and she went along with that. And then all was fine until recently, when the toaster developed a much bigger problem. It's a four-slice one, and down the one side, it was just dead. Mm. At which point, she was told it's now out of warranty, and the repair bill was 3,000 rand. In other words, about 37.5% of the purchase price. So I went after the show. She told us this on air, and after the show, I went to Yuppie Chef, and I said, you know, if Robin had been given her choice of remedy during that 6-month CPA warranty period, as she was legally entitled to, this story could have ended there. She could have got a replacement one, and, you know, that would have been the end of the problem, most likely.
Yeah.
And so do they feel some responsibility to now pay for the repair in part or in full? And I got a lovely response from Yuppie Chef's head of marketing, Lauren Seddon. Essentially, they're replacing the toaster. There aren't any in stock at the moment. That's coming at the end of the month. And she said they did slip up. Their policy is absolutely to allow the consumer to choose the remedy in that first 6 months. All will be put right. And I just thought it was a good example to remind people of how important it is to know your rights, as that you can exercise them in the moment and avoid this. But well done to Yuppie Chef for making good. And Robin Lee is delighted that she's getting a whole new toaster at this point.
And well done to you for the quick follow-up. Thank you so much. Nice to have a story that ends on a happy note. Okay.
Yes.
We've actually got another toaster story that we'll get to in the open line section later on, ironically.
Do.
But for now, let's get back to the bread and butter of the Plett Rage. Wendy, I mean, 2020 has been the year of cancellations because of COVID-19 and the lockdown. Everything from weddings to travel plans to conferences. And as we've discussed in the last couple of months, some of those events have been cancelled altogether. Some have been moved to later in the year. Some have been rescheduled for next year. And whether or not you get all of your money or some of your money or none of your money back for the tickets that have been booked in advance has been a bit of a game of Russian roulette, hasn't it?
It has been, Pippa, because as we keep saying, this is an unprecedented set of circumstances. And so there's no rule book. There is the CPA, and I'll get to that in a minute. But so, yes, some people who paid upfront for flights or accommodation have got a full refund without any problem, and well done to those service providers who, in their hour of pain, saw fit to do the right thing for their customers. In many cases, though, the service provider offered to carry the fee over to the prepayment over to a later date, and those who insisted on a refund for a variety of often very justified, valid reasons, were offered only a part refund, in some cases as little as 30%, so expected to sacrifice 70% of their spend. So local runners who entered to run this year's Comrades Marathon, remember we discussed this, they were less than impressed by the news that they would have to be content with just a goodie bag and a T-shirt for a race they couldn't run, while foreign entrants had their fees carried over to next year's race or even the 2022 race if they preferred that. And you'll recall Comrades Marathon Association chairperson Cheryl Wynn told us that refunds were ruled out as an option for those 25,000 local runners because that would leave the association with no money left to plan the 2021 race because most of the spend had already happened and also their sponsorship had fallen away. And that's pretty much the case with many other events, and specifically the one we're going to be talking about today.
Very, very similar case. So again, this is the latest one to be at the center of a social media storm in the past week or two over refunds. It's the annual post-matric rage festival in Plett, usually a week-long event that the matrics flock to after finishing their final exams to celebrate the end of their school days. Wendy, it would have happened in November. Late November, usually.
It would have been, I'm not sure of the original date, so it's in my notes, but I think my two children did rage in Belito, and it's normally pretty soon after matric, because while you've, you know, the matrics have still got that, you know, yay, school's over kind of thing. It's before the main festive season kicks off.
Yeah.
But now it's being pushed back. It was announced on Sunday evening, that because, you know, the amended school calendar means that the exams won't be over by the time the original, by the time the festival was originally supposed to happen, they had to push it out. And of course, then it couldn't happen just by a few weeks because then it's full festive season and, you know, the bookings for accommodation and everything were made for that season. So the new date, it was announced on Sunday evening by founder Renéne Klugman, of the 29th of January to the 6th of February. So quite well into 2021, 2 months later than anticipated.
Yeah. And again, to be fair, just a reminder, the dates here, the matrics are now only going to finish writing most of them, I think, on the 11th of December, which is the final Afrikaans paper, a couple of exams on the 14th and 15th still, Wendy. So as you say, it wouldn't have been reasonable to expect them to push it to then, because that's into bang peak festive season. People are using their holiday homes, accommodation is full, etc., and the town can't accommodate the event then. So, but 29 January to 6 February is much, much later than a lot of people were expecting. And a lot of people saying they can't make those dates, Wendy. So the big question is, what have they said about refunds?
So, in essence, they're saying, if you want a refund, you have to forfeit 50% of the festival fee. The fees seem to range depending on whether you're paying them off or when you bought, I suppose. I've had people telling me they paid $2,500 and up to $4,000. So it's a substantial fee for a week-long festival, it has to be said. And yes, as you say, if the emails that we've been getting as a radio station have been or anything to go by, it's not going down very well with many parents whose children aren't able to attend this very later age for a variety of reasons. They'll be doing in a job already, or they'll be on a gap year overseas, or I don't think the university's academic years have been with the start and orientation and all that. I'm not sure if that's been finalized yet.
I don't think that's been gazetted yet, but it will have to be moved out, Wendy, because the exam, matric exam marking is only going to happen in January, I think. So we're going to get late matric results, which is going to impact final acceptances to university. So certainly that's going to be pushed forward.
But it may well be the case that by the end of that first week in Feb, they might have been wanting to make their way to the universities or something like that. That's still a question mark. So as always with COVID-19 cancellations, the challenge is to balance the needs and rights of the consumers with the very harsh financial implications for the event owners, who, let's remember, are not at fault here either. This is their worst nightmare, financially and in all sorts of other ways, reputationally and with their sponsors and the towns and all of that. So Plett Rage is a huge brand and a very big business for Plettenberg Bay. It contributes massively to the local economy. It's their biggest event, and it's very attractive usually for sponsors, including car companies, banks, financial management institutions, as well as clothing brands. And all that has been dramatically affected this year, of course, as in the case with the Comrades Marathon and other festivals. The sponsors, you know, don't feel inclined in the same way to put that much money in, because these events are not, if they're happening in a very reduced fashion thanks to the COVID restrictions and all the rest. So on the other hand, parents whose children, as I say, are going to be working overseas by late January, who have, and this is a big one that keeps coming up, that the family members that these matriculants will be living with, or at least visiting often, outside university, make them very high. They have comorbidities such as diabetes, which make them very high risk for COVID-19. And so they feel, on medical grounds alone, being expected to be happy with just a 50% refund is not appropriate, reasonable, or fair.
So let's take a look at a couple of specific case studies just to illustrate the point here. Should we start with Felicity?
Yes, Felicity's son, Logan, bought a Plet Rage ticket 4 months ago for R2,500. Late January doesn't suit him, as he'll be working as a professional beach lifeguard by then. And plus, as I said, there are two family members in this case with comorbidities. Felicity is a type 1 diabetic, and her daughter suffers from a heart condition, so they've been practicing very strict social distancing. Originally, they said, and the founder of the festival, I think, contests this, but originally the cancellation penalty was 25% that you'd forfeit, and then they changed it at a later date to this 50%, and Felicity said they were told that the festival can't make any exceptions. She says, I find this, together with the organizers of Plet's Plet Rage's attitude, totally unacceptable, and I was wondering if this is legally correct. It would be great if you could please advise. I'm sure many others are in this situation. These are different times, and new precedents need to be made. Felicity.
Okay, so let's start with the legal position. I mean, how legally defensible is their refund position, Wendy?
Okay, so as with all the other situations where people have paid upfront for goods or service that they cannot receive due to COVID and its various implications. Strictly speaking, if you don't get what you paid for, you are entitled to a full refund if it's not the cancellation that you made, right?
Yeah.
The Consumer Goods and Services Ombud has said from the start, from March, when all the cancellations started happening, that full refunds are payable to those who don't get what they pay for, or compensation to a similar value, which is reasonable and acceptable to the consumer, such as postponement to a later date. So for the person that is happy to attend 2 months later, or, you know, attend next year's Plet Rage with the matriculants of 2021, that's fine. But, you know, for those who can't, or it's not medically advisable for them to do it, then that would not be an acceptable, it wouldn't be regarded as a reasonable compensation, right? So that's the situation we have here. A lot of these event organizers, it hasn't happened in this case, but they use the issue of force majeure, which is a sort of act of God type legal justification for failure to deliver a prepaid service for reasons beyond the supplier's control. And on that, in her recent newsletter, the Consumer Goods and Services Ombud, Mahate Mbatlele, said, complaints relating to travel services, accommodation, and weddings, and you could add to that festivals, increased substantially in April and May as a result of consumers having to cancel their plans due to the lockdown. The CGSO's opinion is that a force majeure does not apply to consumer contracts, a view echoed by several law firms that have published lockdown guidelines. This is not a cancellation, it's a postponement, but it's a major postponement by two months at a time when school leavers have plans. You know? So that's the legal position. All along, the Ombuds office and myself have been saying, if you can possibly accept a postponement or credit, please do that as a compromise, to understand that the service providers didn't bring this on themselves, and they are battling for survival. But the point is, when there are cases where it's not possible or feasible for somebody to attend a new date, they are actually entitled to a full refund.
Okay, now we're going to hear from the festival founder in just a minute or two. But first, let's bring in Sarah Roert, who is one of the unhappy customers who contacted us. In fact, on behalf of not just herself, but several other mothers who had also bought tickets before lockdown happened. Sarah, thanks for chatting to us on air and welcome to the show. I believe you'd opted for a payment plan, so you hadn't paid in full for the ticket yet. But how much had you paid? Good afternoon.
So I've paid just over 2,000 rand. So basically we had to pay like a 300 odd deposit. Mm-hmm. And then we paid, I think it was 399 a month or something to that effect. And I've basically paid every month except I haven't paid this month because when I did speak to them about it, it was the 50% refund thing, which obviously doesn't suit me because I don't understand why we're being penalized for something that is also beyond our control.
Okay, so just for the record, your son and his friends can't or don't want to attend on the new dates. What's your situation, Sarah?
So my son, there's six of us parents that were in a group and we all paid for our accommodation and we did everything together. And subsequently, we've got all our accommodation money back, bar 10%, which, I mean, you understand 10%. Mm-hmm. So my son and two or three of the other boys, they're going on a working gap year to a thing called Let's Live in Australia.
Okay.
Leave in January. So they can't go. And also for them, they've lost so much this year. Why must they, and just understand my son saying, why must he have his plate rage in December with the next year's matric? Those aren't their friends.
I mean, they go in plate rages
for them to go and let their head down with their friends, not people from the next year.
Sarah, from what I hear from you, your comments about the accommodation, your issue is not so much with a cancellation fee being applied at all, but with the amount of the cancellation fee, because it sounds like you feel the 10% that the accommodation charged you was a reasonable amount.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I think 50% is unreasonable. And imagine, 50%, say each person is going to get supposed to get 1,000 rand and they don't get their 1,000 rand back. Take 100 people, that's 100,000 rand.
What is it?
It's a lot of money. Then they're going to cancel my ticket and resell it to somebody else. So they've got that 100,000 rand, which is, where does it go?
Okay, well, those are questions I hope we can get some answers for after the news headlines. Wendy, is there anything else you'd like to ask Sarah before we let her go? Sorry, Wendy, would you just repeat your answer again? Wendy, apologies, I pushed the wrong button on my side.
No problem. Sarah, what is the maximum cancellation fee that you would consider reasonable? Would it be 10%, 15%? Just to get a sense.
You know, Wendy, we're happy to pay the original thing, which was, now I've got a friend, she checked the terms and conditions, and that was when we bought our tickets. And her terms and conditions still come up with the 25%. But if you go and search the terms and conditions now, they come up with the 50%. And like you're saying, this pandemic with everybody, and he's saying they changed the terms and conditions just before ticket sales. So why would they, if they didn't know what was going on and they're in such dire straits, why would they put in their terms and conditions a clause saying about the global pandemic and this virus? So if they didn't know what was going to come about, why is that in the terms and conditions? And why are the terms and conditions changed 3 days before the ticket sales open and not, they're planning it for months and months in advance? Why is it only done 3 days before?
Yeah, I think you'll find that was a couple of days after South Africa's first confirmed case.
Yes, probably, yeah.
But we will ask the festival founder that when he joins us on air. But thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for joining us. And please keep listening. We are going to speak immediately after the news headlines to Renén Klugman, who is the founder of Plet Rage. And we'll put those questions to Renén. If anybody else wants to ask a question, please do send us a quick SMS to 31567, or you too can phone in on 021-446-0567. Brendan already messaging on the WhatsApp to say they should simply cancel the event and save themselves the costs and hassle. It's too late for an immediate joyful celebration of completing matric. I wonder if you agree with Brendan that the whole point is to do it the minute you finished exams. Waiting 2 months later or a month later even is going to defeat the object of the festival. And it's a question we'll put to the founder of Plet Rage, Renén Klugman, who's with us on the line along with Wendy Nola, our consumer journalist. So let me start with Wendy. Wendy, so you received and we received this flurry of complaints. You took those case studies and questions and you reached out to Plet Rage for some feedback. And we have their founder, Renén Klugman, with us on the line this afternoon. Renén, thanks so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me today.
Look, obviously, an impossible situation for you guys. This was not a situation of your making. And I think it is important to remind that as much as the ticket purchasers are saying it wasn't our fault, neither was it yours. Not something you could have foreseen when you started planning Rage 2020.
Never in a million years did we envision that this would happen. And it's just the most horrific situation that we do find ourselves in, because we spent the last 21 years building this brand and this rite of passage for so many that have come our way. And we're in a situation where we're doomed if we do, we're doomed if we don't. And we just have no choice but to make hard decisions that will impact some people negatively. But what we found is that the overall majority are in favor of us continuing with this. And I'm very empathetic with those that are upset. I think everyone's upset at the moment. Everyone's angry. And none of us are getting what we hoped the year of 2020 was supposed to be for so many of us. It's just been a nightmare. And then if you add into the fact that, you know, you've got the matric class of 2020 who have been robbed of so much. I mean, your matric dance is gone. You get your driver's license. You can't go celebrate. You're supposed to be the kings and queens of the school. You're supposed to be playing first team. It's gone. Everything's gone. And, you know, what we're trying to do is focus on what is our job. We need to deliver a product for our consumers. And our job is give these guys hope. And that, for me, is the focus. I've got to focus on what I can do as opposed to what I can't. And, you know, we've had quite a few people that have voiced their disappointment in our cancellation policy. And I get that they're upset. I really do. But unfortunately, we derive revenue from so many other sources that have been completely depleted, from sponsorship, from potential bar revenue, from merchandise. On top of that, we're working with a market that is also depleted, because there's obviously going to be less consumers coming this year based on the obvious of the pandemic being around. So we have to make hard decisions that certain people don't agree with. But, I mean, I was looking at the numbers from when we made our new date announcement. We've lost just over 1% of tickets on refunds, which is not a big amount if you look at it from the overall percentage. So we believe we've made the right decision, and we've done surveys that have reflected positively on that decision.
So this was going to be my first question, Renan. When you say that the overall majority are in favor of continuing with the event, on what do you base that assertion? Have you how widely have you surveyed your ticket holders?
So we put a survey out to just garner some information, and we had about 200,000 people reply to the survey, and of which 80% based on the question that we asked chose a certain date. Regardless of that, the date was in irrelevant, because the exam time cycle pushed out even further than we had anticipated, and it went straight into peak season. So it was just no choice of hosting the festival in December in any case. I think the other factor to consider is if there would be a huge fallout, we'd see that in the tickets and in the cancellations, and it's live. You can get immediate view on it. And we've only lost, as I said, about 1% of our total amount of tickets, which means the consumers believe in the product and are attending to date.
I have to tell you, Ronan, while you've been talking, had several different messages from people saying, we never heard about this survey. We haven't been asked to share our opinion. Have you really asked the majority of your ticket holders? Can you maybe respond? How did you send out notification of that survey? Did it go to everybody who'd bought a ticket?
So I think that's actually a good question. You know, when you look at the event, Plet Rage, it's a fascinating event, because me as the festival director, I've got two customers. I've got the Ragers, so that's the matric Ragers that come on the year. And then I've got the secondary customer, which is the parents. So what I'm presuming has just happened now is the prime example. The majority of the parents on our messaging is saying, we didn't hear about it. Well, they probably didn't, because the ticket's not registered in their name. And the email is probably registered in their kid's name, and those That's our customer. That's our primary customer, not the parents. I understand the parents is of course a customer. We get that. They, in most of the cases, are paying for the ticket, but they're paying for the ticket based on the request of the matriculant in the year. So that's probably why they never heard about it.
With due respect, Ronan, I've just had 1, 2, 3, 4 messages from people saying my child has never been asked to participate in that survey. We have never heard of such a thing. And somebody else saying my daughter was asked to survey, but the survey option didn't offer the option of cancellation. Was there no question about that choice in the survey?
No, I don't think we asked a question about cancellation. It's never crossed our mind to cancel the festival. That's probably why we never even looked at putting it in. You know, for us, it's about what do we need to do in order to make this thing happen. We cannot give up. We cannot quit. We've got the world on our shoulders at the moment because there's so many other implications. You know, when you make a decision like moving a festival, you're talking about implicating thousands and thousands of people. That will have to make alternative arrangements. It implicates hundreds and hundreds of jobs. So the thought of cancelling has never once crossed our mind.
Wendy?
I want to say, Renan, if you have this encouraging initial feedback about very low, very small percentage of people who bought tickets wanting to cancel, you mentioned 1%, then from a financial point of view, that should put you in a position where those who, for whatever reason, the child is not going to be in the country or in the province, or there is, as we mentioned, high-risk individuals in their family that, you know, don't feel it's safe for them to be put at risk. Would you be open to 100% refunds in some cases, or... you know, at least 80-90% in the case, you know, it seems to be that parents are not completely unreasonable. Most of them would have lost some of the money they paid towards accommodating their kids in Pletch during the festival. The question is, up till now, it seems there's been a 50% take it or leave it policy around refunds. Are you willing to revise that?
So I just want to be clear, our terms and conditions do state 50%, but if for some reason you feel that's unfair, there is a way to motivate that.
Okay.
And that is done through the process. And of course, we look at case-by-case basis where there's comorbidity issues in the family, whether a kid potentially would be traveling overseas, as an example. I've even had issues where, some of the parents said, look, we can't actually afford to come. We've been retrenched. And I've just told my staff, give that kid a complimentary. I mean, this is not, at the end of the day, about making a profit with this festival. We're in all likelihood are going to end up running at a massive loss the way things are currently looking. But we still have to continue and try to get this thing to the finish line. And I think just something that a lot of people don't actually understand in terms of how these events run. And I'll give you an example of our business. We've got a full team that are paid. I've got 8 full-time staff that work on this event every single day. And when, you know, the pandemic hit and certain things took place, such as lockdown level one, we started looking at what does the future look like. And, you know, for us as a business, we had to make some hard decisions where we looked at what the financial implications could be and were we going to survive this. And everyone in the business ended up taking a salary cut. We had to renegotiate leases and commitments that we had with suppliers just to survive this in over the next 12 months. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is it's not just about booking a tent or booking a DJ or it's about everything else that kind of goes into it beforehand. And where we're sitting at the moment, it's the end of August. In theory, the event would have been in 3 and a bit months' time. And we've incurred costs from January up until now in order to kind of get the business running. We didn't think at the beginning when lockdown happened, right at the beginning, that we would be in this position now. We thought, okay, well, it's going to pass and we're going to trade. And as it developed, we still kept everyone employed. And we're one of the last event companies like around at the moment that still have a full staff contingent that have been lucky enough to not shut its doors and not let people go. And we're literally fighting for our lives every single day to just keep this thing open. I mean, if you look at the events industry as a whole and everyone that's been affected, it's catastrophic. It's heartbreaking. The people have been decimated. Mm. So it's tough. And, you know, we've got the overall majority that are super positive and happy and want to support us. And we've got customers that are upset with us, and it's heartbreaking. I mean, we've had to endure some serious abuse from people who I don't believe actually understand the trials and tribulations of what we're going through and how hard it is to put in a brave face and get to work every day and feel positive and try execute something that you feel responsible to do. Because if you don't, I think the effects are even bigger with so many people who may end up with their businesses closing if we don't do this.
Mm. Ronan, if I can pause for a second, we've got a couple of listeners who've sent in voice notes that we'd like you to take a listen to. So if we can just let's play those while we've still got Ronan on the line, please, Obi.
On the Plett Rage and the refunds, I think that the organizers want their cake and want to eat it. So they're trying to host an event the size of their usual scale event so they can make as much money as they usually do, when in actual fact this is not the time and the place. And the COVID came along early enough in the year for them to limit their losses completely. If they had orders that would have been prepped, they could have cancelled way in advance. None of those orders would have been in manufacture in March of this year. And, I mean, we're a business owner. When that first case happened, we were just counting the days to when it would be announced that we had a lockdown. And when lockdown happened, we knew it wasn't going to be the initial three-week period. So them sitting here now in August saying they can't do much, plans were already on afoot and they couldn't cancel them. March was enough time for them to cancel, and that money should have been set aside to do the refunds in line with what the right thing to do is, which is 100%.
Another voice note, and then I'll not another voice note. Okay, I think we'll get to that one later. Okay, so Renan, that's I will say a slightly unusual response, thinking that 100% refund would have been fair, because most of the messages we're receiving are saying we accept that it's a difficult position for you. A 10% refund, maybe even 20% would have been fair, but the recurring theme is that people just don't feel that a 50% cancellation fee is reasonable. Particularly if you're saying you've only had 1% cancel on you, people are asking, well, then why can't you give that 1% their money back?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we're at the moment looking at potentially running at a massive loss at the end of this. We've also taken plus minus 50% of the revenue that we've got. We've looked at what do we currently have right now in order to produce an event if for some reason we do not have the sponsors that would normally come and get involved in the event. If we aren't able to sell liquor where we produce revenue from, if we aren't able to sell food, if we aren't able to sell merchandise, and we've set that aside, that is the money that we've looked at in order to produce the event, and the rest of the revenue goes towards running the business that gets the funding. January until when we host the event.
Now, if I can just put a fly in the ointment here, Renan, how confident are you that you'll even be able to host the event by the end of February? We're on level 2 now. There's a limit on gatherings of more than 50 people. By end of January, I mean, you're acting in the decision to go ahead with quite a degree of confidence that it will even be legally possible to hold the event then.
That's a great question, and thanks for asking that. So we are not delusional. We're obviously aware of what's going on with regards to public gathering, the amount of people that can be together at a specific time. And we've looked at what's happened in Europe and kind of the best practices that have come from there. We've also realized that there's been a resurgence. And so, you know, we've got two different plans that we are trying to implement. Plan A is where we would normally host quite a few people in one particular space, but it would obviously look a bit different to previous years because we don't foresee any dancehall, so it could be like seated shows. There's obviously a bit more detail to that, but we don't want to kind of really put it out there now because it's a bit more work that needs to go into it. And the other option, which is a bit more of a realistic option, is trading in licensed venues. And what that means is any restaurant, any bar, any hotel that has an existing license, we would end up putting a product within that. So whether it's a themed venue, whether it's seen an artist there, it's probably, we've done the numbers between 20 and 35 different venues. So instead of the Ragers going to two or three big festival spaces, where there'll be big gatherings, they're going to go between 25 and 35. And then we would look at putting various entertainment on the beach. So it's putting up a big stage and obviously allowing social distancing to happen. So it's working with what we've got as opposed to working with what we don't have. So, you know, if you look at putting these kind of plans together, and we're talking about lineups that we've never been able to even think about kind of putting together, where instead of speaking to the various artists that we deal with, so come for one set, so I'm saying come for the whole week, play at a venue for the entire week. This is the budget. Let's try and make this thing work just so we can kind of get this product off the ground. So we use the town of Plettenberg Bay as the whole festival space as opposed to a specific space that all the Ragers go to. That's the idea that we are looking at doing.
Okay. Yeah. I want to bring in a caller who's called us who wants to make the case that what you are offering is, in fact, I think, fair. Brad in Seapoint, good afternoon.
Hi there. Sorry, there we go. Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, sure. I'm astounded actually by a lot of people's reactions. Like, we're going through a pandemic here. This is a business that I've dealt with personally, the Rage guys. You know, I've got somebody who's meant to be going to the event, and, you know, these guys put on this event in the town of Platt. It's a brilliant event for the town. This is like their right of passage. You know, I don't understand where everyone's having a go at these Rage guys. I personally, Two Oceans Marathon, I don't get a cent back. I bought Africa Burn tickets. I got offered a 500 Rand book as an exchange. I mean, I've dealt with the guys and understood as far as I'm aware, there's the terms and conditions of the tickets. People bought them. The world has changed. And now we're looking at, what are we looking at doing? Like, do we want everyone to be fronted and this event to happen and the staff to need to go? The event industry has been hit hard. Throughout South Africa, like, what about the Rage staff, entertainers, the DJs, the town of Platt? Like, surely there's an alternate date.
Brad, thanks. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut it there because that phone line was very dodgy. But I think our listeners will have got the gist of it. Brad, feeling that that there's a bigger picture here that people are missing. And Lisa, echoing what you've said, saying keep in mind Africa Burn was cancelled and there was absolutely no refund given for tickets that cost over 3,000 rand. I think Plett Rage are doing the best they can, says Lise. Renan, a couple of people saying they've heard you say that you're open to people making a case for a different percentage refund if there are really compelling circumstances. Somebody asking, which email address should we use if we want to make that motivation to you? Because I've had one person saying, I've put in a request for a refund and I haven't had a response. And somebody else saying, who do we speak to try and put that motivation through?
I think the way it's done is when they cancel their ticket, I haven't actually done it physically myself, but when they cancel the ticket, there's a something that they fill out on Howler. I've got actually one of my staff just writing something down to show me how the process works. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But I think that's it's done via Howler. And what's happening is Howler will send us in batches whether or not these things are applicable or not. So certain times, if someone's got comorbidities, we'll ask for like a medical certificate. If someone's going to be taking a gap year and will be overseas, we may ask for a flight ticket, as an example.
Okay,
and yes,
so
we would obviously consider a bigger amount, which is 75% refund if we feel it's warranted.
Wendy?
Okay. Well, I think when we heard from Sarah earlier, she said she would have been happy with the original cancellation penalty, which was 25%. So that would seem, in many cases, to solve the problem. And yes, to what Brad said, I agree entirely that Plett Rangers actually, certainly with their offer, is a lot better than other ticket holders for cancelled festivals got. We went to mention Comrades as another example of an event. So I wanted to air this because it is such an interesting issue where you're trying to balance the interests of both parties in an event that's a catastrophe that's of neither party's making. But also to just say it's important to know what the consumer lords say and what the Umbud feels is fair as a starting point to then negotiate in the spirit of fairness and reasonableness and understanding that both parties are in pain here. Because, you know, as Renin acknowledged, a lot of the parents who paid are now in very different circumstances and scratching for every few hundred rand. Mm. So this is very important to them, aside from the medical issues and the fact that many of the matriculants can't actually attend because 2 months on, they're not going to be around to attend.
Absolutely. Wendy, thanks for that. Renin, thank you for joining us on the show this afternoon. Just any last message you'd like to put out to our listeners who are affected, who are listening to this interview?
Yeah, thanks again for hosting me here. And I think those that are attending, we are putting our absolute best foot forward to make this thing something special for the class of 2020 because they most certainly deserve it. And those that feel that the refund policy doesn't suit them and they do have specific reasons to cancel, such as medical, or they may not be in the country, please fill it out and of course we'll look at it. And to everyone else, good luck and we hope that the storm passes soon.
Renin Klugman, the founder of Plett Rage. Thanks for joining us on the show this afternoon. Wendy, just to briefly touch on one more thing before we must wrap up. Yes. As we mentioned earlier, the festival ticket itself is the thing we've been focusing on here, but that wasn't the only expense for many parents because they had to book accommodation for their kids in advance as well.
Yeah, so there's a flight issue, and so for a small fee, you can move the flight out later. The bigger issue was accommodation. I've heard from quite a few parents who booked accommodation for their children at Beacon Isle Resort, which is timeshare type arrangement.
Yeah,
they've been given the option of getting a credit for that spend up to 3 years, which I think is very fair, or a refund with quite a hefty admin fee deduction. So in one case, a few parents paid 23,000 rand for their four girls for the week, and the cancellation penalty is 8,000 rand. They asked me if I felt that was fair. Of course, problem being is that everybody who booked for that the original dates can't just automatically push it forward to that week, late January, early Feb, because other people have since booked that. That wasn't supposed to be the rage week. But I said, you know, it does feel like, a big penalty. But the thing is here that it's nothing to do with the accommodation. It's not their fault. Those dates are still available. The fact that rage has moved out is not of their doing. So I think they offered to hold that spend for up to 3 years. It's fair under the circumstances. It's not their issue. When I explained that to some of the parents, they said, "Oh, okay, no, we get it. I think we'll opt to just keep the credit." Mm-hmm. So it's just as Renin says, this thing has so many implications. It's not just one simple thing. It's the knock-on effect is huge. And while it'll be interesting to see, we'll surely report back on how that festival eventually pans out and whether all the hard work was worth it.
Absolutely. Wendy, I think a story to be continued and also interesting to watch those numbers and how they change in the coming week, whether it's still going to be 1% cancelling. As somebody saying on the SMS, a lot of people have been waiting for clarification on the cancellation policy before going ahead. So definitely a story to be revisited at a later date. It's consumed Absolutely. Our entire hour, but Wendy, I think it affects a great number of our listeners, judging by the level of engagement we've had from them. So thank you to all of you who've participated in the show. And as always, thank you for picking up and following up on these matters for us, Wendy. We'll chat again next week.
Will do, Pippa. Thank you.
Keep well. Bye. Wendy Nola from our consumer journalist. And just a reminder that if you do want to reach out to her to raise a consumer story, you can do so on email consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R, or contact her via her Facebook page, Wendy Nola Consumer.